So, I'll turn that back the other way.
I hope so too. Planning board meeting, February 28th,
2021, 22, 7:01 p.m. We've certainly reached our 7 o'clock time and then some. Sorry for the delay, but I want to make sure everybody had time to get everything in order. Starting out tonight's meeting, we have some minutes that have to be approved. I don't have them on my agenda listed, okay? So maybe it was January 12th, right? June 21st of 2021, and there was another one back there too. August 2nd, yes. So, board. Can we move ahead with approving some minutes and get this cleared off our desk so that they don't have to print them up again for us? To the June 21st minutes, do I have a motion?
I just want to put things. I sent Katrina earlier today some comments on the June minutes, and
okay.
Just typos.
Okay.
So I don't think I need to go through.
You don't need to read them into the minutes, and just. Okay.
As long as everybody's agreeable with that, if they're not substantive.
Okay. I know I found a couple typos, but I don't have the ones that I have here, and I'm sure you caught the ones that I did. So, no, as long as everybody's all right without reading those in, can I get a motion to accept the minutes with the amendments?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Any other discussion? This is for the June of 2021. Hearing none. Do I have to do a roll call on this? Do you think that's a good idea? I think it's pretty basic. So let's just do all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that one carries. Now our August 2nd meeting, 2021. In case the audience is curious why we're going back that far, we had a change of hands and got another great secretary, and then we had to get some minutes caught up. So that's why. Any corrections for the August 2nd, 2021 minutes? Not hearing any. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the August 2nd, 2021 minutes.
Do I have a second?
A second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion on that? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. And then our final one was the January 12th meeting, which was the one with DEC on the biochar facility. Anybody have any corrections on those minutes?
Yeah, that was a special meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the phone-in special meeting. Hear any corrections? So, do I have a motion on that?
I think I make a motion that we accept the minutes for the August of January 12th meeting.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion made and seconded. Any further discussion on it?
Yeah, I'm going to say because of my OLAPs that come at me.
Okay. I still think we're good. So, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And abstain.
Yes.
So, we should be okay. So that booklet taken care of. Now you can take that off your desk, okay? And thank you for catching them up close. I appreciate it. All right. Moving on to our February 28th meeting, starting at 7 o'clock tonight. First project that we have is Ty Hall zoning amendment request. Do we have an applicant for that? And if so, can you state your name and describe the project? Oh, this meeting's going to go really fast. Moving right along. Well, the meeting starts at 7. It's officially 7:07. So, moving along to the second project. This could go really quick. Mike, we need to get out before your 10 o'clock time.
That's perfect.
Our next project on hand for this evening, and I'm sure we'll go back to Mr. Hall, right?
Yeah, let's do it. Yes, we can do that. Yep.
Okay. Moving on to project number two for this evening, which is Wood Creek Subdivision Request for Amendment. Cerrone Builders, do we have that one?
I'm with Volusia & Sons, here to represent Cerrone and Riverview Volusia.
Are you sure? Because we're really moving through the agenda. Would you like to step forward and, as our regular chairman would say, tell us a story?
Can you state your name again, so
James Campbell. So there was an old easement that was found afterwards that National Grid had over the property that was originally approved for three lots. And it's really not buildable the way it currently is with that easement over the lands for National Grid. I think it dates back to the early 1900s, I believe, is the easement. So it's an old transformer line from Brookview Power Homes now, I believe. So we just said, well, we can't build three houses there. Let's try to get two, and we did a lot line adjustment to try to accommodate that and market those lots.
So essentially, we're eliminating a lot, and we're doing a boundary adjustment resulting in the elimination of, I think, what was lot 17, per se, and now we have 16 and 18 remaining, and they're just going to be splitting the difference between the lot that was being eliminated. This normally wouldn't even be here for a boundary adjustment, but it was a planning board approved subdivision, so these guys have to approve the change.
So we're taking the three lots and taking two lots, is what we're doing.
Correct.
Yeah, I've got no problem with that. You want a motion to move forward with that, then?
That's the only change.
That's the only change.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we eliminate lot 17 and make it part of 16 and 18. Would that be okay?
That's correct. And I can read into the record the new lot sizes.
Okay.
The lot 16 after the adjustment will be 39,045 square feet. That's 39,045. So it's almost an acre. And then the new lot 18 after the adjustment will be 25,264 square feet.
Okay, so I have a motion. Do I have a second for that?
I'll wait a second.
Okay, now we're up for discussion. So if you wouldn't mind, I was unfolding a map and my hearing isn't as good as it used to be.
Yeah.
Explain to me again how this utility easement caused this.
So it wasn't discovered because it predates certain things that come up in a survey when you do a title search. It was pre that date, like maybe it's pre 1946. I'm not positive of the dates, but title searches only go back so far. So that easement was older than when they did the title search. When we went out and started working, we noticed that that was there, and we had to do some further research and saw that that easement was there. Unless,
so there is a utility there.
Oh yeah, it's an overhead power line.
Okay, and it's on like a corner of the property, so it wasn't really like kind of nicking across the corner.
It says it moves closer to that paper street that's there. It gets closer to the front of the lots.
Okay, and then this forced you to make this change. Why?
Because you can't build on that one lot.
Okay, because there's not enough room on the front. Okay,
correct.
That's what I thought looking at it when I saw it the other day, but I'm like, well, no, I'm just kind of curious. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion on this?
The only thing I would also put on the record is that there's no change in seeker. The seeker determination as a result of the change.
So, I'm not hearing any other discussion other than that. So, do you want us to change the motion for that?
I just think it would be a good idea to acknowledge that.
Do you mind if we make that?
Can add that.
Okay, so we amended the motion to say that we approve taking lot 17 and splitting it between lot 18 and 19, and there is no change to the seeker.
Correct.
16 and 18. I'm sorry. Thanks for catching that.
No problem.
I'm
going to
give you the blocks you didn't even want. All right.
We'll take it.
So, With that done, everybody's okay with the motion as it is. We'll call the roll on that one.
I'll second it.
Please. Oh, we have to do a second for the amendment. Yes, thank you for catching that. So it's now seconded. Could you please call the roll?
Yes. Mike Shaver?
Yes.
Ann Perdue?
Yes.
Meredith Matias?
Yes.
Adam Siebel?
Yes.
Sherman?
Yes. So that is unanimous. I believe you've got your approval.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a good night.
Oh, we are.
Don't get used to that being that quick.
Next up, because when I pass an item on the agenda, I put it to the end of the line. So if our number one comes walking in, we get to be last. So number three, Moreau Animal Clinic site plan review. This will be our first shot at this. In fact, I think all of these are new business. So who would like to step up and be a party to this and tell us the story? I'm already setting up the thing. I'm going to get this folder, so I'm not doing it all the time.
How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Kirsten Cavalier, Matt Huntington, Studio Ice, Chris Jones, AJ. So I'll walk through the site, Matt will walk through the room, Chris will walk through the architecture briefly. So the location is at the corner of Nolan and Route 9. The zone is...
Could you put that over there so the people out there could see too? You know, there's people interested that are here.
They're with us, so they know.
They have other people over there, so they might want to see this.
Okay, so the project is at the corner of Nolan and Route 9. It's currently zoned C1 Commercial 1, and it's approximately 1.48 acres. We are proposing Moreau Animal Clinic. And as you enter into the site, it's currently vacant. There's mature vegetation, it's forested, and as you can see, this is what we're going to be proposing for development. Coming in off of Nolan Road, we have an access drive. We're proposing 44 parking spaces with two ADA spaces. As you circulate around one side, we have an area for dumpsters and service access into the building. We are proposing sidewalks around the perimeter of the building for access for staff, visitors, maintenance. We have an outdoor area in the back, which is going to be fenced in for dogs and animals that are visiting the clinic. We are proposing stormwater management on the site, along with an extensive landscape plan and offering along two side property lines, and then leaving the front open for use it off the road, but with some nice aesthetic vegetation. We are also proposing a signage wall along the front. It conforms with the zoning requirements for Moreau for the allowable size. And we also are proposing brush garden plant lighting through bollards, which are just going to be along the perimeter sidewalks for access to the building, and then a few out near the dog fenced-in areas as well. I think that's it. I'll let Matt come in on the engineering.
Matt Huntington with Studio A. It's a pretty straightforward site from a stormwater perspective and on-site utilities. What our plan here is, back in this area, we're going to have an on-site septic system handling anything from the building. There's two vets that work there now, so it's almost size similar to what you'd have like a single-family residence for the DEC requirements for the veterinary wastewater field. We did test pits, six or seven test pits throughout the site. It's all typical sandy soils in that area, just like almost everything else over there. We didn't encounter any bedrock, groundwater at any point. So what we've done from a stormwater perspective is we've collected the new impervious areas with a series of catch basins here, 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 and here throughout the parking lot, and one back here for the sidewalk area. These are all piped over to a sediment floor bank in this area. That'll be planted. It's kind of a depressed area, but sediment filter out, anything that comes in from the parking lot, roof, etc. And then along the front here in this vegetated buffer area, there's going to be a depressed infiltration basin with some drywells in it. And essentially, that handles all the stormwater for the site, zero runoff leaving it because of the sandy soils. They have extremely high infiltration rates, so it's almost perfect for that practice. In terms of portable domestic water for the facility, there's a 10-inch water main that runs down Nolan Road. We weren't able to coordinate at the time we put the drawings in with Mike Mooney at the water department, but we have since the drawings have gone in. And he said we're simply can tap it pretty much anywhere on Nolan Road, so we're going to run a standard domestic service, 1-inch line, copper line, and tap the water main on Nolan Road for water. And that generally sums up any engineering, utility, and stormwater related. We did do a SWIP food project that's been submitted. We have not received any comments yet from LaBerge on it, but we do will address accordingly.
On that, just administratively on that, the reason why I don't think we've gotten paid for this, you know, the fee for the stormwater review. I don't think we've received that yet.
Oh, okay.
So we can't initiate the review until we get the fee. It's $2,500.
Got it.
All right. And as soon as we get that, it'll be submitted on.
Okay. Stupid.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Chris Jones. I'm the head of AJ Architecture and Planning. So I'll walk you through the architecture of the building. It's going to be a single level, approximately 4,800 square foot vet clinic. Looking at a large lobby right off of Nolan Road. So you come in and see the lobby. Our goal is going to revitalize that whole corner and give them views to the practice from both of the main roads there. We're looking at approximately 6 exam rooms and then have all the facilities that would be required for that. This is main entrance for guests, main lobby off of Nolan Road. Then there'd be a secondary entrance for your staff to the rest of the page as you're looking at it. Though we're looking at the building as a slab-on grade construction, and the whole overall height is less than approximately 20 feet. As far as exterior materials, elevations here, so this would be the front elevation and then the staff entrance elevation. We're looking at neutral tones, so we're looking at stone to be deep in the area. We're looking at some sort of medium gray paneling for the front around the entry. And we're also looking at natural timber, sort of wood colors for a portion of the siding and then for your accent details for columns and not around the entry.
Thank you for sharing.
Sure.
As we don't have architectural review, it's always nice to see what it's going to be, but we don't get to like yell about it. And it does look like a very nice looking facility. Board, do you have any questions for this applicant?
I guess I'll go first. What kind of hours are you envisioning? I know that the clinic down the 17th, is it doing emergency anymore? Is that right? I didn't know if you were thinking regular hours, office hours, weekends.
I can speak to that. I'm Nick Robertson. I'm the current owner of Royal Clinic. Right now, we are currently Monday through Friday, okay. 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Okay. Right now, with where our staffing is, we'll be keeping those hours as we grow. We could potentially, I'd like to expand to like a weekend, half day.
Okay.
Right now, we're just doing general practice sort of things. With Northway down the road, we don't really want to take on like the emergency medicine sort of stuff, so
okay.
We wouldn't be doing that. We'll take our daily walk-in emergency, but that's it. Nothing, no major overnight stuff like that. No 24-hour service.
Okay. I live right near there, Oleg, and it's a really tough site, and anything going there would be a hard site because of traffic. That intersection, in my opinion, probably not a traffic engineer. It's overloaded and needs turn lanes. But so this is going to be hard to to get that access off Nolan. We just had TLC in here like 6 months ago, and that was a lot of the concerns, is getting cars, their trucks in and out. So that is one of my concerns. I don't know what our recourse is with site plan on getting a traffic engineer to look at it. Or
you have that discretion.
Yeah. I think it seems like there's a lot of parking spaces for the use. I'm a pet owner. I know I'm in and out with my cat 20 minutes. So 44 spots seems like a lot. I did a Google count at North Wave. They don't have that many. So that seems like a lot of parking.
All right, the current problem we have at our current facility, we have about 18 of them.
Okay.
And the staff, depending on how often they're actually at the hospital working. We have two doctors. We typically have a lot of technicians, assistants, and receptionists. So quite a bit of them are already taken out by actual staff members. And then we have clients coming in and out and stuff like that. So we use a significant amount of parking spaces as it is now.
And one thing with the fencing in the back, since again, I live right over there, probably from Memorial Day to Labor Day, somebody's blowing off fireworks. Mike can probably agree. So I don't know if that's a good idea, like with dogs outside, and there's inevitably fireworks going off, especially the 4th of July weekend, all weekend.
Yeah, I think we're approximately maybe like 0.3 miles away from there at our current facility.
Yeah.
So we don't really have an issue. We do medical things. We don't do any boarding of animals or anything like that. So if we're not there, there's nothing there.
Okay.
So really, as far as the fireworks and stuff, typically at night, probably won't be there,
okay.
I would say.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have animals there.
Yeah.
So there's absolutely no overnight stay even for care, medically related?
So there's some strange once in a while cases that we have, like dogs or cats that will stay overnight, where we typically set up 24-hour cameras. There's no on staff overnight. And these are typically cases where people don't have the funds to go to emergency, and they basically, they're very sick patients. If we can do outpatient stuff, that's what we like to do. These things, basically, if you can't go to emergency and get 24-hour care, and the option is to euthanize or give me a chance to see what happens overnight, we'll give it a try. But these patients are typically very debilitated pets. Like, they're not able to go home.
Yeah.
They're close to maybe dying. It's one of these things where we always say, all right, you can't afford $3,000 to go for 48 hours of care at an emergency hospital. At a fraction of that cost, knowing we're not there, they understand the risks. If the patient passes away overnight, they understand the risks, stuff like that. So it's not like we're leaving barking dogs there. They're not well enough to do that. So
yeah, because I didn't, you know, we've got the dog training across the street,
yeah,
which is also different use. But I just didn't want to get in a situation that that wasn't known, because there's something we can do about
it. Our fence in areas, just so if there's something that stays for the day, if we're trying to catch a urine sample, or, you know, our surgeries that go out midday, we take them out so they're in a fenced area and not taken off into Route 9. So there's nothing out there like unattended. It's really my techs walk them with double slip leads, super safe out to there, and then you got like, you know, two leashes plus your fence, you're pretty safe.
So they'll only be out there from 7 to 7 and be left out overnight parking.
Yeah, there's nothing outside overnight. Right now we have a fenced in area at 1674, and our neighbors with four dogs are much louder than us. So
you're the guy up the north.
Yeah, up north, yep.
Okay.
Those are my comments.
Sure.
How about the septic system? We have sewer, municipal sewer going by there right now, up on the corner.
Yeah. Some contention on that.
I personally, I think you should hook to that sewer. I mean, if you're going to be doing stuff there, that's why the sewer now is 2022.
Yep.
So as far as the septic system, I'm not sure how much authority this board has to say, no, you can't do that, you have to look to the sewer. I think we need to look.
We have vetted that. We spoke with Todd Kuzmiers on that, and unfortunately, Matt Drago already refers to Todd, but one of the issues is that wasn't part of the district when they ran this extension through here. That wasn't part of one of the problems that could tie in. So well, you're forced to go on-site. Now, if something happens and we can tie in, you know, certainly we can modify it to tie in the line. I guess there was some contention with that side of Route 9 and the ability to tie in to the line.
Well, there's so what I think what you should do is go to the town board because they're the ones that can authorize that.
Okay.
And I'm sure they would say to you, I don't want to speak for them, but I see no reason why they would not let you. Is there any reason, Jim, why they would not let that?
I would suspect that they would want the connection, not a matter of let.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
The more users in the district,
yeah,
the better.
Yeah. And for what you guys, you're going to be doing there,
yeah,
you're putting in the ground, and it looks all sand and everything, and there are some points around there that people use for watering and that kind of thing. I think you need to pursue that sewer.
Certainly. Like I said, our first cut at it was met with some resistance that we wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, so it's kitty corner. So I see no reason why they would say no. And then your entrance way off of Route 9 and Nolan, she made a real good point that there's a lot of traffic there. It's a bad intersection. I think that would be DOT, Jim, or will that be Paul?
That's going to be Paul on Nolan Road. The one suggestion I have, to the extent that would help, I see where you have your driveway entrance nicely situated in the center of the site. I would suggest that be moved, what would it be, west,
yeah,
as far as you can.
Yeah.
So the reason, it's about 110 feet from the intersection right now, and we did try and keep pushing it. The problem is to come in with a garbage truck to circulate through to get to that back corner. You can't make the turns if it pushes any farther to the west.
Oh, so we're going to have big trucks going in there?
Just to get the garbage.
There's got to be then an alternative location that where that trash can go, or you can rework this to maneuver within the site to do that. Because I think that this turn off of Route 9, this westbound traffic, southbound and then westbound on Nolan Road, they really move through there because it's not a 90 degree angle, so you can go at a faster speed, and they really move.
Yeah, and I think state DOT, if they're close enough to that intersection,
they may have
DOT's approval.
I mean, ideally, I'd like to see this aligned with the driveway right across for TLC, because now we got conflicting movements here, and that's always problematic.
I'm confused. Can just hold on for 1 second. Are the dumpsters in the back corner of that west parking lot?
Right here.
Yeah. So how do they have any effect on the entrance being moved further to the west? It would seem to me that it would be just as effective if it was in that west corner. They could pull in and back right back to the dumpsters.
So the area right here,
yes,
right here, and just to the corner right here, we were reserving those for snow storage areas.
Okay.
When the truck comes in, we ran the turning radius, and they come in, and then they have to have just enough room to straighten out before turning around this corner. So we tried pushing this over as far as possible, and if you connect these two turns too closely, the size of the truck couldn't circulate through. But we can look at a different area for the garbage.
Where are you going to put your snow?
We're reserving this area right here, a little area right here, and then, so they can just come in and push them straight off the extensions.
So you'd be close to Nolan Road?
I would say
your stump.
This actually, just to add to the driveway, the only other issue with it, we have a little bit of a topography challenge as we push it further this way. The site is flat pretty much everywhere except for this western corner of the site, where we have about a 5 foot grade change over 40 or 50 feet here. So as you bring this driveway in closer to here, you're really kind of cutting the topography. Probably going to have to extend some sort of retaining wall along there, increase the construction costs, et cetera. And it may cause an issue from site distance as you pull out from traffic coming from the west because of the creation of having to put a wall in here based on topography. So that's kind of one of the reasons that this is somewhat centrally located. I mean, there probably is a little bit of wiggle room here, but I think if we keep pushing further to the west,
you know, we run into kind of this wall site slope issue. We already have a small 2 to 3 foot high retaining wall here to create the parking spaces, but we didn't want to extend that all the way out to the roadway.
Yeah, when you come up off of the south there, you come down south on 9, turn on the Nolan.
Yep.
It's not in a good area because.
Oh, I agree. That looks real bad too, so I know.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, so we're going to have to work on pushing that. Yeah, even if you got to build a retaining wall, that's what you
yeah, what it is. Just an issue with the wall of the site distance going on. That's all. As you're sitting there, you have 4 or 5 foot high wall next to you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's certainly something we can investigate, but that's just kind of the reasoning behind that entrance location. We agree there's not really an ideal spot on that corner lot for an entrance.
Well, I would say this. I mean, ideally, you'd like to have your driveway right centered on the building. Aesthetically, that's the nicest look. All right, but if we're going to run into a situation where it's a traffic issue and that driveway doesn't work, there is room to move it to the west.
Yeah, I certainly. We can make something work to the west. Like I said, we may not be able to get all the way to that property line as far as we can because of the topography, but yeah, we can certainly look at pushing as far as we can get it from a functionality standpoint.
Yeah. So, again, your snow. Why don't you want your snow out front, not out back?
Well, it's in both spots. It's kind of, you can kind of come in and plow and push it off the air, then you can push it off this direction and then also out.
Nice to have lots of places to put snow.
Yeah.
So our two traffic, local community traffic experts, and I don't mean that in a smart way, I'm actually looking for your expertise, Mike. The traffic there, as far as, I know it can be a little bit of a tie-up on that light. What are the times? Is it like commuter times? Is that what's really bad, or is it all the time?
It's commuter time. You got school buses going through there, too, with the school, so mid-afternoon you have a lot of traffic. But it's pretty busy there. You know, there's up to 800 homes that are back in there, you know, with that whole area behind the high school and everything. So we've got a pretty good steady flow, but anywhere from 6:30 on, you're looking at a lot of traffic till after, probably till 9 o'clock, and then around the 2 o'clock when the schools start getting out, that's when your traffic's busy till into the early evening, till 7, 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah, the problem is, too, is when a bus stops on 9, and you're going to have a parking building right next to it, or a trailer park right next to it as well, the whole road stops, and the light changes, and the intersection can't move.
Well, then they cut on the inside, and they can go on that shoulder and take the right without the light. You're probably seeing it yourself, right?
Yeah.
You know? So it happens a lot. So it's a big concern, that entrance way.
So anything that can be done to move that further? And I mean, even I'm looking at going, even if you tilted the building a little, so when you brought the driveway, you can still center at the face of the building. Because I understand the aesthetics. It's nice to have your driveway centered on the building. I do understand that. But anything that you can do to maybe slide it as much as you can to the west would be helpful. Anything else?
How about the lighting? How bright is it going to be?
You
got a lot of residents in the back there.
What's that?
We don't have a lighting plan.
Or is this going to be the exterior lighting? They have to be dark sky compliant, so it's not trying to light them up, and then you just have the lighting for your entrances. So it'd be fairly minimal.
You're going to be working with one guy in the backyard at all.
We're only 3 foot high.
Okay.
I couldn't find them. I love the smaller maps, they're easier not to unfold them, but I couldn't find the lights anywhere.
There should be a sheet,
one of the last sheets.
I didn't
see it, so
I
didn't. Here's the bigger version of it, if you can squint to see this far.
L6.1. What's the number, page number on
it? L6.1.
Oh, okay. I was too far back.
So there's already pole lighting on Route 9 there, as you know, in that area. So the idea was just kind of smaller 3 foot bollards lights around the perimeter of the building.
So there's no lights on the actual building itself?
There'd be lights around the entrances, so they need lights to have there to be dark side compliant. So they're not going to be kind of up into the sky.
Okay. If you were able to hook into the step deck, and I didn't have to have you that in the back, would you still landscape it, or, I mean, it's pretty overgrown as well. So do you think you'd clear the whole lot still, and then?
I don't know if you really want to clear it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you'd keep a pretty healthy buffer, and anything in between the buildings,
yeah,
and sort of the plant within there, but kind of keep it as is.
Okay. I know vinyl grows too, you know.
The water makes it flow.
Oh, it's in 12.
12. I put it there.
Oh, okay.
So your hours are going to be strictly daytime, 7 to 7, no 24-hour emergency service?
No, no 24-hour stuff. I don't have staff to do that, nor do I want to. That's problematic.
Maybe a little bit on a weekend, but not on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any ambition to go on a Sunday, but I'd probably like try to get a half a day on Saturday if I could, something like, I'd start late, just to staff it, like a 9 to 1 or something like that, yeah. Just because there are people that we extended, it used to be 8 to 5, and it was great for, like, people that didn't have daytime jobs, but now, with going to 7 and late to 7, you get the before-the-work crowd and the after-work crowd, and then on weekends, it's basically for the people that don't have any time during the week.
So it's gonna tie in with your other place up the road?
We're actually we have to figure out a plan for that actual facility, since I own the real estate there. But we're basically moving that hospital, everything in it, down to this facility. We've outgrown it.
Okay. All right. So you do something else with that facility?
Yeah, whether we sell it or repurpose something.
How many parking spots do you have at the old place?
Well, when we extended the parking, it's got about 17, 18 spots right now.
Is that enough, or is that a problem? Not enough?
It's a problem now. The way it stands, one of my employees actually left the park in front in one of the actual lots where clients park.
Okay, right, how many people do you employ? How many employees do you employ?
Right now we have about, counting Jill and myself, if you take us out of it, like 9.
Okay.
And we're looking to get a little bigger.
Are you looking for a certain place to park, employees only?
I like to have them out of the way. Kind of on the back side, not in front.
So it doesn't show on the...
So I would say probably mostly like over on this side over here.
Doesn't need that for employee parking?
Yeah, because by the employee entrance, they can just get right in there.
Employee entrance?
Employee entrance, like kind of right... over here.
The income over here. Okay.
Yeah. And that would be only used by them for the most part. And then if we have any service, I think it's stuff. People that need to come in, deliveries and stuff like that.
What do you have for deliveries? Do you
have any trucks? No, like FedEx, UPS.
Oh,
same as Red Zone type stuff. Okay.
No trucks or trailers backing in there?
No.
Nothing like that?
No.
Okay. So that would be a concern too.
That would be a problem.
You get a school bus or, an ambulance or a fire truck, and get around there quickly. First thing you've had tractor trailers cross on that road,
Get that out of that problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's considered undesirable, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It happened.
Okay. Anybody else?
I was echoing the same concerns others had about the traffic, and I do think a traffic study would be recommended for this. Is that something you guys considered undertaking?
At first, we were kind of going up over the end for available area, but I mean, if the board would like us to pursue that,
I'd like to see that because of that intersection.
The traffic study might also come up with some suggestions to mitigate whatever traffic issue is generated by that.
There probably is not a current traffic study that could be just reviewed with that, is there? Because that's been a while since...
No, but there's varying levels of traffic study. You guys have seen them. It's an analysis-based letter or a full-blown study, depending on the need in the situation.
Would you be looking for input from the board as far as what you think, or would you like to look into that and then get back to us on that? Or?
No, I think we should have that discussion now as to what you would prefer in terms of level of analysis.
That's what I thought.
And then depending on the results of that, then if the associated question of it, is it needing some sort of a third-party review?
Okay.
Depending on what we see, which is additional escrow if that's the case.
So board, what would we like to see as far as traffic goes? What's our concern and how big a study should we have to do on this?
I think part and parcel of that would be a good idea for the traffic analysis, whoever prepares that, to reach out to DOT and touch that base, see if there's any DOT concerns.
I'm not so concerned about the number of trips because of how busy your line is. I'm more concerned about the backup or someone trying to pull right out of the facility and then they're at that light that already has issues that I don't want.
Well, intersection operations, I think, the approaches, how they're working, if there are any delays, will just contribute to any added delay. And then I think given the geometry of this intersection, safety is another concern. Are we seeing an inordinate amount of accidents? Or, it'd be nice to have the analysis include a look into the accident data for the intersection and see if there's anything showing up there.
There are accidents that are quite often.
Well, and if that's a perception, then see if that bears out in the analysis.
Yeah, I'm almost like a bit worried about their sign they're proposing. Because it seems like what TLC said, that they come the next morning, somebody's driven over the front part of their lawn, and you see it.
Yeah, it might be a good idea to consider moving that sign, otherwise we're going to have a vehicle for you.
Yeah.
Ask your neighbor across the street, they go over and across the lawn.
Yeah.
As soon as the hydrant sees it.
Yeah.
I know it's compliant, but there's a practical, consideration there.
Okay. So going back to the traffic stuff, what does the board feel about this? So we can give Jim some kind of directive and the applicant some kind of idea of what we're looking for.
I mean, I think if we ask for an analysis-based letter, if that reveals something, then, it would advance to the next level. But that might be a good first step.
Would that analysis, would that include contacting DOT and getting what information
yes.
they may already have for that intersection?
Yeah, you can stipulate for that. You can stipulate for that as part of your request.
Because that would include
request.
Outlets on the Route 9. That
correct.
Would include Nolan Road and Bluebird Road as far as how they feed onto.
See, where it gets pricey for the applicant is how many intersections do you want included in this analysis? I mean, if this is a big blown traffic generator like a shopping center, they analyze a number of intersections in the region or in the area. Here,
that,
I think this can be pretty focused on the one intersection.
But I think that first one is when you're concerned that the applicant's business is going to add tremendously to the traffic.
Correct.
Which I don't think is an issue with your business. What we're looking at is what the traffic load is already, which DOT would have an idea of anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's not, and it's established traffic, right, guys? I mean, it's not like the new development's gone in the last
right.
2 years.
Right.
Exactly. So they would have a general idea of that. What we're looking for is if that traffic is already an issue, is there something that they might need you to do, like we said, with moving the entrance or something, to make sure that your business isn't negatively impacted by the traffic that already exists, and to make sure that the traffic that already exists isn't negatively impacted by the business outletting onto it. So I would agree. I would think just an analysis would be more than adequate, especially since I'm pretty sure that intersection has been studied recently by DOT.
Oh, yeah. Once they hire an engineer, if the data's there, it'll be readily available.
And nothing much has changed there. And you're not likely to add a whole lot of traffic. You're not going to change the traffic at the intersection that already exists. We just want to make sure that what you're proposing fits with what already exists. Okay. For your sake, you don't want your customers sitting for 30 minutes waiting to pull out on a Nolan Road either. So
we already do that over time too.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah. John, the only other thing would be if we went back to Tanglewood with the new entrance into the high school at school dismissal time with the buses. I'm not sure how many of them go out there and go down Tanglewood to Nolan. Maybe we could get that from the school.
That's true, because that's what
that's the nice road that's through this year. So I'm not sure which way they're exiting from.
I would be willing to, maybe not, because that's a school. They don't necessarily. I was going to say, I would be willing to bet that they may have had to look into that and the design of that.
I'm sure they did.
So they may even have that data. They also have to be picked up in an analysis.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Board? Is analysis then enough for now?
I'm okay with that.
We don't need to be out counting cars.
No.
I would only point out that if we see the analysis and indicate
right.
further study is necessary, it wastes some time.
Yeah.
So it is to some extent a question whether you want to go do the full study now or you're willing to go to two steps.
I think we go with the analysis first. Okay. Based on the actual traffic flow here and previous experience with these analysis and full-blown studies, it seems that you guys should be able to be pretty comfortable with the results of the analysis.
So, I've got three particular primary focuses of that analysis. That's the bus traffic associated with the school, the location of the entrance, and then we're reaching out to DOT to see if they have any particular concerns given the proximity to the intersection.
And maybe if you don't have this number already, if you do, just feel free to share it. But if you don't have this number already, maybe just kind of be cognitive of your business model as it is right now, how many vehicles you have in and out, on an hourly basis, just to get a feel for it, because
we have a pretty good idea, just based off of the schedule.
Okay.
We only do 30-minute appointments, whether they're technician appointments, doctor appointments, or what have you. So basically we have, say you're running two doctors, which is what our ideal schedule is, plus tech appointments, you're out six clients. If you do those three segments, plus your intermittent people coming in for like picking up prescriptions, medications, stuff like that, probably 6 to 10.
Around 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what I'm hearing out of this access location is it's not necessarily a design focus, location. It's a traffic focus location. So if the traffic analysis warrants that this move further west, and the design, retaining walls, grading, all that's got to accommodate it.
Just to clarify, Sergeant Jim, I just want to make sure I call all three of those. It was you wanted the bus, you wanted the DOT data on the intersection, and then the third one was
the entrance location.
Just the location.
Yep. See if it's worthwhile to push that west.
So you guys are working with computers now, so you don't have to get the pencil out and redraw all of it. But I will once again refer that if you want that driveway to be centered on the building, you could still angle the building towards that northwest or that southwest corner.
Yeah, it's a common misconception on the computers. You still have to draw it all, even with a mouse.
Take your hand and go like this, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So do you have any questions for us other than that about the traffic analysis?
No, I don't think so. Just on the sewer, I guess without having to go all the way in front of the town board, maybe we should try to pursue a little bit further, maybe with Mr. Cruzaniers. Is that correct?
I can't imagine. When did you talk to him last about this?
I don't know. Was that probably December, November?
Anyway. Yeah, I would really encourage that, I have to understand why a connection can't be made.
Yeah, I think it could be made. I guess the issue with the surrounding properties, there was some resistance because people didn't want to pay to connect into it.
I looked it up today, and the mapping doesn't show north of the intersection. So
yeah.
That might be why they said it was not.
Yeah, it was they drew the line in some place, and that's
just the sidewalk.
Yeah.
So there's no reason why it couldn't direct from a board underneath Route 9 to get to it, especially, again, in today's world. I encourage anyone that has sewer to hook to it.
Yeah.
Because of, what you guys are doing there, the stuff doesn't belong in the ground. Okay?
Yeah. Just want to put some over.
Well, you guys that ran the sewer all the way down to Tanglewood and the whole way in
there.
Well, and I think it's been mentioned on at least one other project that it would be desirable to get the sewer to run up that section of Route 9.
That's correct.
Okay, so it's not like you would be the only partners that might be looking into this. So, anything else? Anything from the board?
Jim? Public hearing. Do you want to have a public hearing on this?
I think we need to make sure we have all the information first.
Okay, right. Yep.
And there's a couple of outstandings here that may not be resolved in the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
Right?
That's like the
SWIFT. Yeah.
Oh, and I'm going to need another full set of the drawings then. I have plenty of the SWIFT reports to send off, but they always want a full set of the drawings. I only have one set, so I need another one. Right? Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, we have to have that reviewed. We're looking for a traffic analysis. We're looking for sewer determination, things like that. So I would kind of side away from scheduling anything yet.
I just wanted to let the applicant know that the public hearing is going to be part of the process. So.
Yes, because it's in our commercial district. So everything gets run through a public hearing there. So it's nothing personal. We want everybody to see that beautiful building. We want everybody to see that pretty building because that is a beautiful design. So, all right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moving right along to project number 4, McKenna Subdivision, sketch plan review. Mr. Sean McKenna. Going once, going. You had this pinned up, didn't you?
It's always I'm not Sean, but
I know, but I had to stand up.
I haven't been in front of you guys in a few years now, but I see some familiar faces, which is nice. And it's always nice to be in person. It's been a while, so.
Some of us said you have to be able to escape
the bondage of public service, I understand.
So tell us the story. What is that?
Essentially, my name's Kristen Dara from Dara Lansing. Last year, I did a survey and an administrative subdivision for a woman named Shannon Craig, who owned the overall property. We split up the house that she lived in and brought the 20-acre lot. Since then, she's trying to sell this. Mr. McKenna is interested in purchasing it. But he is under contract. They included that in the application packet. The purchase, obviously, is contingent upon him being able to do what he intends to do with it, which would be to subdivide. We'd like to get 4 lots. Numbers-wise, we can do it. We've come up with a layout here that meets all of the zoning requirements, but it's a very deep site, so some of these lots, you know, essentially you're looking at 3 keyhole lots and one that has the proper road frontage, the required road frontage. But what we're looking at doing is creating one access point from the road in. I'll pause for a minute before rustling paper.
You know it's a long way from like 2 men.
Yeah, well, we're trying to meet all the requirements and also keep everything to the appropriate scale. We had it on one sheet and we can't submit it like that. I mean, if you would rather see it on one page, I'd be happy to do that. It's just going to be at half the scale you're looking at right now. So basically, he wanted to get this in front of you, and that's why we opted for the sketch plan to be able to say, you know, what do you think? Is this something that the planning board would be, you know, in favor of? Let's see what you have, you know, any comments or feedback.
Just to give you some similarity, this will be very similar to the one Mr. McKenna did further down Route 32. Mm-hmm. It was the one with the private shared driveway. And I have to say, you know, it was executed very well. I mean, if you look at the build-out of that now, it was well done. And the other thing that was very good about that is there was a lot of pre-planning that went into that in terms of the maintenance agreement for the access drive. And there was a lot of good data provided about, you know, how that would be done.
Yeah, and we're looking to do something very similar here.
Neat thing is every project you learn from. Okay, here's what I learned from Mr. McKenna's project on Route 32. If this is approved, it will not be approved without a restriction put on it that says no road identification sign can be located at the main road. Because that one on 32 started out as a private driveway that turned into a beautifully paved private driveway that then got a private driveway sign that now has like a name on it. Like it's a road. Because apparently the people that live there want to live on a road. Except it's not a road.
Right.
So, but anyway, this one, Jim, reminds me more of the Rourke subdivision off of 32 that now has a horse farm tied into it there. And I'm going to ask this question. How long is this driveway to lot D?
About 1,200 feet.
How many?
1,200.
1,200 feet, which is approximately 400 feet longer than we would require a boulevard entrance for a road.
Okay.
That's a long driveway.
It is, certainly. I mean, and I think
it's well over the 300 feet that would require the added dimensions for fire apparatus.
Right, and what you're looking at there, I believe, is a 16 or an 18-foot wide driveway. I mean, we knew going into this.
What we're looking at is a 20-some foot wide driveway.
Okay,
with
so
at least 14-foot clearance overhead.
Okay.
Not for the last 300 feet.
No, for all of it.
But for everything beyond that.
Got it.
Okay.
It is to come in and clear that and make it, you know, bring it in, build that out first, and then start, you know, with the maybe a spec house or something on one of the front lots, either A or C, maybe both of them, just to sort of get the ball rolling as far as, you know, getting somebody under contract and getting some funds to do this. But he wants one and two sequences very similarly to the other project where the driveway goes in, it's built up to standards. You know, I told him it's, you know, fire trucks, it's cement trucks. He knows, he builds houses. So this would be done, obviously, whatever is required up to code, if there's emergency turnarounds or anything like that that's needed. But this would be wide enough to accommodate two vehicles, you know, moving in opposite directions down it.
Oh, it is essentially two lane?
It's right now what's shown. I believe we have it at 16 or 18 feet wide. But obviously, we have more room to do that. You know, these are the 40-foot wide road access points. And what we had intended to do would be to build that road so that it kind of straddled lot B and lot D, their access points. So they could be as wide as it needs to be because you've got a total of 80 feet there. We'd have the road sort of straddling those two, and then to the side of that have the utility easement.
So my recommendation wasn't like from me. It's actually state code.
So it needs to be.
So it should be something that's going forward. Everybody should be aware that if it's over 300 feet, there's state fire code for it.
Okay. So it would be.
The fire department apparently don't want to have to take more than 300 foot of hose.
That's correct.
Yes, and I don't blame you. It's also nice to have a turnaround.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the turnaround question, the interesting thing there is will the entrances to the individual homes count as those turnarounds?
Yeah, I was just looking at
well,
that.
Well, I was actually looking more towards the last one because I believe you're going to find more than 300 feet from that last driveway to that last residence, from lot B's driveway as proposed to that last entrance. Might be nice if there was a hammerhead at that last entrance.
There should be a hammerhead.
As far as you're talking in here?
No.
Oh, way up here.
Some up
yes.
Somewhere, not way up, but somewhere up in there.
Yeah. And this is wide enough you could absolutely do that.
Yeah.
I
don't see it being a problem.
Yeah.
It would be nice to see that. And it doesn't have to be paint. It just has to be a turnaround so that if a fire truck does have to get up in there, they can, you know, not have to back up 3 feet.
Oh, absolutely. So. Yeah, and we kind of know, just looking at this and looking at the topography, and one thing that Sean and I are going to be doing here in the very near future is actually sort of siting this on site to make sure that, you know, as far as house placement goes, that this works with the topography, and make sure that this fourth lot is, you know, is going to work. Because the intention is here that this last lot, obviously, is going to be the most expensive to build, but could be a very interesting spot to site a house. I mean, the hope is to have some kind of a view, you know, looking west from there, which means putting the house, you know, being able to have the appropriate space to meet setbacks and whatnot, and for drainage and whatnot, for a house that's back that far. So certainly that would be sort of the most expensive lot on the street, or driveway, we won't call it a street, I know better than that. So there's, you know, and again, you know, he's working his way into a sales contract right now with the current owner, so we want to make sure that getting it in front of you that we fully understand what's going to be needed and that we can, you know, work that into the design.
So one other question I have, is there any way that we can, there's a point where the driveway gets off of lot B's property? pretty much straddles BED the whole way there.
It does, yes.
And then there's a point where it drops off of that, and then it hops back over on to B. So is there any way we can straddle that right to the driveway in B? Is there anything?
So it comes straight down, right, and then it comes in this heavy dark line here.
Yeah, is there any way we can kind of stay with that to where it goes
on
in?
It?
Or bring the driveway off where it's still straddling it or something?
Just oh, as far as following this?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you could. I don't.
So,
fight with it.
Right. Just speak of the devil.
Sorry.
John Cannon.
Hi.
Great work.
Yeah. But they would like to see come up.
And not the board, just me. The board may think I'm crazy and not really think it's adequate. And I might even agree with
you. Yeah, we have no problem with that.
Okay.
Like I said, after this meeting, I'm going to go up there with the surveyor, and I don't know exactly where I am on this property yet, so.
Right.
Okay.
You know. Were you, I'm not sure that they were when you came in, did you ever talk about the design requirements for driveway over 300 feet?
No.
Okay.
I just walked in.
Okay. So anything over 300 feet, the design requirements, the fire code requirements?
Yeah, New York State fire code on it makes the road or the driveway more extensive. You're looking at 20 feet. 20 feet wide, 14 foot of clearance for fire apparatus. Nobody frames it.
14 feet of clearance.
It's got to be 20 feet wide.
Yeah,
so that vehicles can pass.
And then a turnaround at the end of a hammerhead or a circle.
Yeah.
Or
mainly it's because they don't have to run out more than 300 feet of
hose. No, yeah, we. Yeah,
they want to see a turnaround.
I don't think you ran into it on 32, the one you did there, because I think that was within 300 feet
shorter.
Before you broke off.
It was 200 feet, yeah.
Before you broke off.
But we still did a hammerhead with driveways.
So.
We do the same thing in here, too.
I mean, in the town, any road over 800 feet requires a boulevard, but this isn't a road, this is a driveway, so we get that. But it does, fire code does make it. I'm sure Jim's got the specs on it. It came up.
It's a state regulation. I printed it off and I haven't saved it away, so I can give you a copy of that.
It's not us making you do it, it's the state. So
no, we were planning 20 feet anyway because there's going to be more than one car. It's long enough where you can't go less.
There's plenty of room to do that, so whatever's needed.
It's going to be proposed gravel at this point, maybe an asphalt apron going into it, and then asphalt as we go.
Does this abut with the rear boundary lines of the properties on Thorn Apple Drive?
No, it's a bit south of there.
Okay.
So
a couple lots. I think there's two houses in between.
So your Thorn Apple is up here.
Oh, I see.
Yep.
Those lines are really light. Okay, I see what
that's,
it is.
Yeah, that's kind of GIS, unfortunately.
I thought it wasn't, but then I noticed that there were two different property owners here, and I thought maybe I was misunderstanding it. But okay.
Did you check the wetlands yet, the state website?
I used the county GIS, and there wasn't anything that came up here, just south of it.
I checked it on the pecan tree, Meredith, and I didn't find anything.
Yeah. Okay.
Board, anything else?
John, do you anticipate that preliminary you'll be getting into your shared driveway agreement submission and all that?
Yeah, I'm going to ask a few questions on all that stuff too, with SWIP and everything, and getting SWIP going, which he has the drawings. I talked to him today. Until we know what we're doing, I didn't want to get him going.
Yep.
So he's also going to handle all the septics, being in the middle of winter. Soil analysis is going to be tough, but with the elevations we have, we feel pretty comfortable we're going to be okay in that situation. Thorn Apple's a bit lower. That's going to be at the lower end of the property where we're building further up the hill. That's why we're spending the money for the power and the road and everything to get further into the property. So there won't be any road frontage houses, but he's on board to get your SWIP done possibly by Monday, which is a stretch. We'd have to have it to you by Monday, right, the 7th, in order to get to the 21st meeting?
Correct.
Yes.
So, you know, he's going to have several proposed septic layouts by size of house and soil condition, showing that the property will allow any form of system that it would require, whether it be a mound, a pump, an in ground system. Soil on the hill is going to be much better than down at the bottom. We all know what Thorn Apple is like. It's a very wet, high groundwater area. We have about 7 feet of elevation from that area to the culvert pipe at the road. So we have a lot of ideas on how we can dewater the lot. So we're still, this is still a sketch plan.
Yeah, there's some good grades in there.
So. There's some good grades, so we want to get two premier houses. We're actually considering shrinking to three lots. Did you go there yet?
No.
So I haven't been on the property where she has lot D. Is it D?
Yes, the way back.
It's on the topo. Now the topo's been overlaid on it. Now that I see it on paper, I think I'm going to have a problem building that house. So we may have to shrink it to three lots. Another question I would have for you is, if we decide to do that, are we going back to our sketch plan? Or are you guys okay with the four? Three is less. Three is okay.
Well, I know.
Am I reading the topo from? I'm looking at like 10 feet of grade over the...
Yeah, these are 5 foot intervals. I think she has
yeah,
on
yeah,
here. Yeah, yeah, you're going to have about 15 feet of grade from the top of the hill going down that hill. I want the house to be on top of the hill, which would put the front of the house right about at the 20-foot setback. Whatever the setback dotted line is.
Yeah.
And that would put it awfully close to the lot in front of it. So we've also talked about having a deed restriction as to what they can do in the front yard of this house.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 5 acre lots. I want four lots. Of course I want four lots. But if we can't make it work on paper, then we're going to go to three. There'll be two up on the hill, and then another house down lower.
So since you're here, and I mentioned this earlier, and I'm sure you took notes on it. Okay.
Yeah.
You learn stuff from each project as you go along.
Yeah.
Okay. So sometimes
the hardest way possible.
Sometimes it may seem like the goalposts are moving, but really it's a process. So you learn from every project too. The one you did on 32, which was four houses, shared driveway, view. The driveway doors and everything.
Yeah, they've done a good job with that.
From that point on, I've learned that I would like on the plans that nobody can put a road driveway name sign out on the main house.
I heard about that.
Okay, because it started out as a gravel driveway that turned into a paved driveway, which is really a beautiful street they put in there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they put a name sign out there because apparently they wanted to have a name to their driveway. And then they had to put up the private driveway or private street signs or road signs.
Which people were starting to come and go and turn around their yards.
Right. So
one neighbor wanted to keep the old address because he didn't want to change his address again.
I understood that there was
some
irritation about like it being lot, you know, A, B, C, D
yeah.
from that number because people felt like it made it look like they lived in an apartment or whatever.
Yeah.
So now we ask ahead of time, what are the numbers going to be? What could they be?
Yeah.
You know, do you have, so
we're on board with that for sure.
Is that a motion, John?
No. I'm hoping to not have to read that. I'm hoping that it shows up on the plans that we see the next time that there will not be allowed to be a name sign out by the road for the driveway.
No. Yeah.
Not to prolong the topic, but there's actually two schools of thought on that. Some communities actually require private driveway signs.
Really?
Well, I don't want to go there.
See, I'm the other way around. I can't stand driving past some single resident's driveway and have it say Arnold Lane because their name's Arnold and they think it's like, okay, but now people are going to think that's a road. And then you're going to get upset because people are pulling in to see what's on Arnold Lane.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes, no, I was pretty much involved in a lot of that decision making.
They were all calling me.
I'm like, oh.
I would, as soon as you can, broach the numbering issue
with
the assessor because on these shared driveway instances like this, as you know, it gets tricky. So the sooner we can get her on board, the better.
For addresses, if we can get four consecutive numbers,
you're correct.
450, 452, or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you should.
We probably have the room for it. I don't know.
It depends on the frontage of the lot and what else is going on around it, but. I get with her as soon as you can so you understand where you're at.
Absolutely.
Do we have to do anything with the mailboxes on them like we did with the other ones, the 3-4 mailboxes?
With a bank of
them. Out front or anything with the post office?
Well, they're going to have to be out front.
They're probably going to want them out front and consolidated.
Yeah.
But would they have to get the post office approval for a address with that?
No, it's through the assessor.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's all going to be proper.
Trash removal and
John, I think in some places FEMA has required that a private driveway get a name, the word name.
Really?
It's happened up in Indian Lake.
That's what I mean.
You're supposed to have an
email. I've seen like Fire Road 27.
Apparently not.
They assign names to them.
I had to actually contact Google and ask them to remove my driveway from the maps. Because my driveway that comes in past my buildings, past the barns, and goes out to the fields to the northway showed up on Google Maps.
Yep.
People started showing up and driving through my yard to go past the barns, past the manure stores, the silo, and out to the fields. It's like, what are you doing? It's the driveway. Well, then Google.
Trying to one that's actually driving that from an implementation standpoint.
Right.
So we were assigned road and street numbers. It was all coincident with 9/11. They didn't know where was our path and how were they going to find it.
Right. Wasn't that the point, though?
I guess.
Okay. So, anyways, any other comments?
So, on the SWIP issue, that starts formally with the preliminary. When you submit for preliminary, and it's a $2,500 fee.
So Monday's when that deadline is. So we're gonna. We have a lot to do. I have to get a survey crew on top of this hill with me and show me this line, and we're likely either gonna like it or not. And if we like it, great. If not, then we're going back to the drawing board. But we would just reduce it to 3 lots. It'd be everything would be the same.
Well, it's up to the board if they want you to say a sketch or proceed on
some preliminary. For the end of this month, or do we? Can we do a preliminary with 3 lots if I can get all the other things done?
I can't speak for the whole board. I think if you were telling us these are the 3 lots as proposed, but we might want to do 4, then we might want to see a sketch.
Right, we're going from 4 to 3.
Yeah,
just
you're
because
going the other direction. So my personal thought on it is that that's probably a little easier road to hoe on that.
Yeah, I'm in contract for the property, but we had a contingency that it had to have at least 3 lots and to final. Basically, we were going to go 3 months in all your meetings. And she backed out of that last minute. And I said, okay, so that's why we're kind of rushing. So if you guys seem favorable to this 3 for 4 lot, I feel more comfortable buying the property. But if you were to say there's something wrong here that you really don't like, then I'd love to hear that now, too, because I only got about 20 days to get out of it. I mean, it's a pretty simple project. We have all the setbacks. We might make it 3 lots, which would make them all bigger lots. In that case, we would have the 2 back lots on top of the ridge and 1 house down low. We kind of made a lot of the premier lot, but now it's starting to fall over the backside of that hill.
No surprise wetlands.
No
surprise wetlands, especially up where the property joins the main or the town road.
No,
that would make it impossible to get a driveway in.
No, it's like I said, that culvert bed is about 6 feet lower in elevation. And where you'd be walking, so
there
were a lot of drainage out there.
Topos look really good up by the road, but there's no reason why any of these flag lot parcels couldn't be used for ingress, egress. You have 3 of them together there. 1, 2, 3. Shared driveway between B and D, but if lot number, or lot C wants to...
A and C could have their own driveway, potentially.
If they can't get along in the... For some reason,
they could. The whole road frontage is accessible.
Because we
have to put a culvert pipe in.
We require the flag lots that where it contacts the public road has to allow for ingress egress, even if you're not using it.
All that land in the first 500 feet is very consistent in elevation.
So I will say this: the only thing that could, if you buy it, stop your project is if for some reason you do the survey and we find it a very important endangered species or fauna. Or flora or fauna, I should say. But then again, we don't have any control over that. So
I walked it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Thornapple on the first 500 feet. You know, it's just gradually goes uphill, but it's uphill, but it's not downhill. So, you know, I think with building the road, a couple of drainage swales going back towards the road on both sides of the shared road would be my goal.
Okay, so I need you to stop right there. The tape recording is going on. You have to stop saying road. Driveway. Thank you. We do not have private roads. So it's a shared driveway.
Yeah, driveway.
Okay, so continue.
So a 20-foot wide driveway with the utilities on both sides, there will be some form of drainage swale on both sides of the driveway.
Right.
And can also serve for dewatering some of that property.
And I'll email you those state regs tomorrow.
Please. Thank you.
Board, anything else that might be a sticking point?
Well, the other thing is you're going to come downhill there and drain that into the town on the Selvig Road. I would discuss that with Paul.
Yeah, I think you can do that.
Selvig Road is a state road, isn't it?
No, that's a town.
Not the town.
Selvridge Road is a town road, but you're not.
It doesn't have to discharge to the
you're
road.
You're not talking about draining your stormwater to the town's ditch?
No. There would be retention areas above that. Okay. But the elevation does allow for this property to be more usable.
All right, so it won't drain out to the Selvig Road?
No, it could have some form of retention on the side of the driveway.
See, I don't usually send us to Paul until we get to preliminary.
Okay.
For these very reasons.
All right.
The stormwater will be handled on site. Anything else?
No, just think, like I said on the SWIP, you know, you require the SWIP before we go to preliminary?
Yeah.
I believe, I'm sure. Yeah. And
you have the topos, usually that's the one that...
The driveway agreement, we're going to pretty much match everything we did on Route 32. That language seemed to work for everybody. They're all getting along, you know, great, so...
Try to keep the driveway shared as long as you can. We had a different one on Selfridge Road that ended up with a shared driveway that was completely on one property that didn't even plan on using the shared driveway. It made no sense.
No, we chose the center two strips there.
Yeah, anything you can do, and if it's impossible, I get it, but anything you can do to try to keep it on that.
We'll pull it up here. Maybe come down.
I keep it straight there, because I'm going to want to traverse that hill anyway.
Yeah, I think in the one spot, you're only looking at like 20 or 30 feet difference, as long as there isn't like a 100-year-old oak you want to leave there or something.
Okay.
It'd be nice to keep it shared.
And with the stormwater and septic proposal, again, being that it's not very conducive right now to go in there and clear this land all the way back to these lots for tests, septic testing.
Well, that would be kind of a bugger to do with a shovel, wouldn't it?
It would be.
And a pickaxe.
It's pretty tough to traverse it. I'm hoping to start building the driveway on the way in and make it accessible. But, again, he's going to propose it in any which way, form, or fashion, whether it's a raised mound pump system, if the soils are really bad. We've already done some digging there. We don't feel there's going to be any issues. Because now we're working up the hill.
So what you're saying is you don't foresee anything on the site that would make it impossible to put in a septic.
Nothing. With 5-acre lots.
I'm thinking there's no ledge rock on the surface or anything like that.
No.
There's no wetlands.
We've dug quite a bit through those areas of the town.
Not like 95% wetlands where there just won't be
room to put. No, just that first 500 feet, and that's, we're keeping the houses beyond that. I could put one in there, with a, like a tri-level, like what I did in 32.
Yeah.
But we're hoping for full foundation ranches.
Right.
So that's, 2,000, 2,200, 1,800 square foot homes. I talked to the engineer for doing the stormwater and the septics, and like he said, he goes, what we generally do is we propose this much room we have to work with, we can put any system you want on this property. And that's pretty much how he's going to write it. But as far as me getting a machine in there and starting to dig holes and get Matt there to do the perk test. Still pretty good frost on the ground. It's spring.
So the thing is this.
It'd be messy.
You can subdivide this land into 5-acre lots. Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Is this R5? This is R5. Yeah.
Yep.
So these would be really, really expensive 5-acre woodlots if you can't put a septic in.
Right.
So that's kind of your problem, not ours.
No, yeah, I agree.
We'd like to help you. We'd like to see the perks.
As an excavator, I know that I can make it work. So.
But before you get a permit to build, you'll have to be able to prove that you can do that. So
yes.
So that's not really a super sticking point, for me at least, although Jim's throwing dagger eyes at me over there. I know how he feels about that. But.
So who lost the bet on how quick the meeting was going to be tonight?
I'm sorry?
Who lost the bet on how long the meeting was going to take tonight?
We're doing a lot better than it looked like from the agenda, right? So
you're done.
We're rushing here, and she goes, well, they just got rid of number one. They're not here, so we're playing. I'm like,
We didn't get rid of them. We moved them to the end of the meeting. So the longer you chatter, the better the opportunity that the other applicant will come in, and then we'll have to check the meeting. So any other comments or questions? Okay, moving right along. Thank you so much. Have a nice evening.
Thank you.
So you're going to try then to get that stuff together for the next month?
I'm going to beg her to give me a surveying crew on top of this hill.
That's
we'll
what
be
I
there
do.
This week anytime she wants. Stormwater is right thereafter. He has her survey already.
Yep.
Okay. I just have to tell him what I'm doing. It's possible. We won't be going, I don't think we'll be doing preliminary final at one meeting, which I believe I have the option of 5 lots or less, Jim is telling me.
So I mean, one thing I was told a long time ago is anything's possible. It depends on how much money you have. So,
none.
But that has nothing to do with our preliminary and final approval. And on a four lot and under, everything's clean on it, I can't imagine.
Yeah, so I'm not.
But that's up to the board. They vote on it. Hmm? Yeah, they may be in a bad mood that night.
Now, how does that work with public hearing or with public notice?
Public hearing, preliminary.
Yeah.
The preliminary and final?
Yeah, preliminary. And then what happens at the preliminary stage, you can request a waiver of the final application, and it's up to the board if they want to grant it.
Oh, you do that at the preliminary meeting?
Yeah. Yep. So we do.
So we have to notice the public before then?
No, we do the notification.
The board
has to set the public hearing.
Right. So you give us all the stuff for the next meeting.
And then we notify the public.
We've got everything we need to do a public hearing. We can schedule a public hearing.
Oh, okay.
For the next month. That next month, the public hearing goes well, you get preliminary approval. If there's no real contention, there's nothing that's hugely complicated or controversial, we could choose to waive the 30-day requirement on the second.
Okay.
All right. And do quite often, as long as it's not.
We're still March 1st. I don't see anything happen very quickly. I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, frost is pretty deep this year.
It's pretty deep, but might be the time to clear some trees, you know, so it'd be nice to have it out by then.
We had winter this year. I keep telling everybody, you know, there was 6 weeks there that the temperature never went above 32. So that was not, we didn't have a January thaw, and it was not very nice.
No.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Girls.
Okay. That's as far it. As I'm concerned, Jim, we've exhausted our agenda. I don't see.
No, I don't know where they are.
Number one here, so I'm going to assume that there was some type of an oops, and I would ask the board if they would like to make a motion before somebody catches on. Anybody want to make a motion?
Anybody in the audience?
I'll make a motion to close the meeting.
I don't have anything to say unless number one shows up.
Okay.
Thank you,
though.
Done. Enjoy your night. Thank you.
You have a nice evening, sir. Okay, anybody would like to make a motion? Unless Jim has
one
something for us.
Mike, Jen?
Yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
On the, and I spoke briefly with Jim the other day. How are we doing with the stormwater? And off of Hoover's Road, with that Winterberry there or whatever?
That's still with Carla. I'll try and touch base with her tomorrow and get an update for you, Mike, by next Monday.
Okay.
Oh, and we do have your packets here tonight for biochar.
Monday night meeting.
Yep.
What I'm concerned about is we approve something.
Right.
And if it's going to be changed.
Well, our one stop gap on that or our checkpoint is the DEC permit can't be closed out.
Until
that gets resolved.
Mike, what project are you speaking to?
It's a Winterberry. It was here once.
Yeah, but there were two at Winterberry.
Yeah, the first one was approved.
Yeah, one of them was that somebody built a swimming pool in a swale.
Yes, and you guys approved the change.
Yeah, but then the other one we didn't approve.
No, that got tabled.
The town graded behind there.
What's that?
The town graded behind there.
No, the town did not.
The town didn't.
Private residents. Don't say that.
Private residents did that. Okay.
And
some of these projects frustrate because we do something and we have our meeting and we say this is what needs to be done and then they go away and I'm with Mike. All of a sudden it's like they aren't back. And about
right.
4 months later I go, wait a minute, did I miss a meeting or something?
Right, exactly.
Because nothing came of this.
I'll follow up and I'll have an update for you next Monday.
If I
get it sooner, I'll email everybody. I'll have Katrina email you.
See, Jim,
okay,
really
can you email me on that other stuff?
Which stuff?
The sewer laws and stuff.
Remind me in the morning and we gotta set it.
So what time is the meeting Monday? 7?
7. Normal time, but it's only 1 a.m. on the agenda.
So Jim, it's really weird to me because usually it's people that move out into my neck of the woods that decide that because they have 5 acres and they live in the country, they can do whatever they want. It's not usually people on 1 acre lots and subdivisions. That's weird to me. We still need a motion to adjourn if everybody runs out. No, we didn't.
Well,
Mike interrupted it with his question.
I I'd like to thank the chairman for doing a wonderful job.
I'm trying to get it done by the end of the year. Come on.
I make a motion to adjourn.
I have a motion. Do I have a second? I have a second. All in favor? Aye.
Record setting.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
I want you to know that it doesn't enable me. Pete still has a job. I hate being chairman.
Did you show the clock?
I'm going to tell Pete. Sorry, buddy.
Vouchers.
Vouchers. Don't forget your vouchers.
So when I was on the Farm Bureau board,